Grab your Bibles. Let's jump into the Word of God. And we're going to continue our series on Open Heaven. Invite someone to Easter services. Everybody goes to church on Easter. And if you've been praying for someone, that's a great time to say, hey, come to church. Let's go. Let's go. Go with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. We're going to be verse 13 through verse 19. And we're continuing our series on Open Heaven. And what we're looking at in this particular series of messages is we're looking at the perfect prayer of Jesus. What was the perfect prayer of Jesus is when he said, pray this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On, as it is where? So it's God's desire for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God open the heavens and may heaven come now. And we're looking at how that becomes a reality through the perfect prayer of Jesus. And so I want to continue this series. We're going to look at Matthew when Jesus is going to ask the disciples who he is, but also how we open the heaven upon this earth. And here's how the Bible reads in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who is he talking to? Okay, his people, right? His disciples. And he said this, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In other words, what's the word on the street about who I am? So they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he flipped the question. He says, that's great and dandy. But then he says this, he says, but who do you say that I am? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, who do you say Jesus is? Now I'm going to say, who do you say? He says, that's all great what the world says I am, but who do you say I am? Verse 17, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, but the rock that Jesus is the Christ, upon this rock, he says, I will build my Freedom House church. Come on, somebody. He says, I will build my church. Jesus is building his church. He says, and watch this now. This is the statement I'm going to look at. He said, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. That is a promise of God that hell will not prevail against his people. And I'm going to talk about that today. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, I'll be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, I gave you the keys, but he has a promise for us that hell will not prevail. I want to talk to you today. Tell my message is the gates of hell shall not prevail, and how we fulfill that promise in our life. Let's pray and invite God's presence again. Father, we thank you. And as we come to the portion of the service where we open the Holy Scriptures, God, we didn't come to hear the word of man. We came to hear the word of God. So let your word penetrate our hearts. As the Bible says, let it be sharper than a two-edged sword. God, just a sundering, God, the bone of the marrow, the flesh, the spirit, God. Let the word of truth form us, build us, and help us to become the people you've called us to be, Lord. Let it be fresh bread, fresh manna this morning from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated. And again, tell your neighbors, say, no gate in hell shall prevail. Tell them that. No gate in hell shall prevail. I want to continue our series on open heaven, and specifically today, I want to talk about how the gates of hell shall not prevail. And in weeks past, if you're joining us for the first time, we are now in our fifth week in this series of teaching, and we spent the first couple weeks talking about how heaven has doors, heaven has windows, and gates has hell, and as you see the three props behind me. And I talked about how the Bible says in Revelation that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And Jesus knocks on the door of the heart of the church, and Jesus knocks on the door of the heart of the believers. And it's unfortunate, and I'm not saying this in any way judgment, but it's unfortunate that Jesus knocks because oftentimes the church has pushed Jesus out. We want just a religious experience. Give me 3 points, a good song, make me feel good, and I'm going to go home and live my life. But the reality is Jesus is knocking on the door and doesn't want to visit you. He wants to dwell in your heart and in your home. Can someone say amen? Okay. In other words, heaven opening is not just about him opening while we're in an hour and a half experience at church. It's about living with an open heaven in our homes. Amen. Then I talked to you about how the windows of heaven open and how we literally open the blessing of God upon our lives by honoring him and living with the blessing of honoring with our tithe. And we talked about how we want to live blessed. Anybody want to live blessed? Come on, I'm going to say amen for you, okay? And how the windows of heaven come upon our lives and we are blessed to be a blessing. And God is not trying to curse you. God is not mad at you. God wants you to honor him so that you can be a blessing. You can be a sign and a wonder where people say, I want the God you have. Come on, somebody, in this broken world. And today I want to talk about the gates. And I want to specifically talk about the gates because this today is the part of how the enemy hinders, limits the kingdom of heaven working through our lives. And Jesus says, the gates of hell. This is not a preacher's story. This is not my opinion. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus himself reveals to us that hell has gates. And he talks about how these gates are trying to prevail against the church. Now, before you think I'm talking about the building, no, I'm talking about us. Tell the person next to you, say, he's talking about you. Come on, somebody. He's talking about the people, right? Remember? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors. Okay, come on. All right, there's the people, right? The church is the people, okay? And so you're like, oh, yeah, man, God's fighting the building over there in Irvine. God's fighting the building. No, he's fighting you and I, okay? And the gates are not prevailing. And so Jesus talks about this, how these gates won't prevail. And I want to talk about that today specifically to identify how we will not let the enemy or Lord, let any gate in hell prevail against the people of God. I don't want the gate of hell to prevail against my family. I don't want no gate in hell to prevail against my soul. I want no gate in hell to prevail, come on somebody, against my home. Say amen. And of course, against the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there are gates trying to prevail. And so Jesus talks this discourse about no gate in hell prevailing. However, it comes in a narrative, in a teaching, where he begins to ask the disciples this very important question that every single person must answer, not just believers, but even unbelievers. He says, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, Jesus, I saw this Facebook post. You know, there was no Facebook there. It's just an application, okay? You know, he says, well, I saw this YouTube video. I saw this series on Netflix, you know, and well, people say that you're kind of like this prophet. You're kind of a good person, you know. You're kind of a teacher, you know. And I'm just like, okay, cool. That's the word in the streets about me. He says, great. And then he flips it. And he says, but who do you say I am? And this is the quintessential question of every human being. It doesn't matter what the world says he is. What matters is who you say he is. Because we will all stand before God and have to answer that question. We will not have to give answer to, well, the professor said, well, the school said, well, my cousin said, well, this expert on Facebook said. No, he says, who do you say I am? And this is the question of salvation. It's the question of we will have to have that statement. And we that live on this side of the cross, we bear that responsibility. Stay with me here if you're new to Freedom House. This is my opening thoughts. We laid down the context. We'll get to the nitty-gritty of the message. But this is the question that we on this side of the cross have to answer at even a higher level. Because watch me now, you cannot deny Jesus never existed. Like, he really did walk this earth. He really did split history in half. Every time you write the date before Christ and then the annual Domini, the year of the Lord. He really did do the miracles. He really did change people's lives. Who do you say he is? He's just a good person. Oh, really? No. I believe he's who he says. So here's a good recommendation book to read. It's called More Than a Carpenter. Either he was a lunatic or he really was a Lord. Of course, we gather this morning because I believe he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Come on, somebody, say amen, right? He's more than just a carpenter. And Jesus, you know, says this. He says, well, who do you say I am? And then Peter, you know, he's that one guy in the class like, I know. I know who you are. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, when he made that statement, the word, he says, you're the Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Get it? Jesus Christ. Okay, tough crowd this morning. All right. That's not his last name, okay? Christ is what was on Jesus. The word Christ is the Greek word Christos, which means anointed one. It means the Messiah. It means that he was the one who would introduce the anointing, the supernatural empowerment of God back to his people. That no longer we believers have to succumb to the powers of Satan, of darkness. He says, I bring the anointing to bring salvation, redemption, sanctification, regeneration back to my people. Come on, somebody. You're the anointed one who's going to save us. Who's going to make a pathway, not only for eternal life, but also for here. Because that anointing is on his body, the body of Christ. Jesus, I don't get too deep here, registered Bible college, shameless plug, right? Jesus went back to earth, but his body is still on earth. I'm sorry, Jesus went back to heaven, but his body is still on earth. You say, how so? We're the body of Christ. See what I'm saying? He's like, he's the head, we're the body. And the anointing is supposed to still be on the body of Christ. The supernatural empowerment. We are the representation of Jesus on this earth. We are like Jesus. And so he says, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because revelation will always bring blessing. He says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. You cannot get revelation through flesh, only revelation through the Spirit of God. And that's why you got to be part of fresh revelation. I want to be, give me the blessing of the revelation. He says, revelations, flesh and blood, it's my Father in heaven. And he says, and upon this rock, Jesus says, I will build my church. Now, some spheres of faith get this wrong, and they think Jesus was talking about building it upon Peter. But he wasn't going to build the church on Peter. Peter is too shaky. You know, he's too floozy. You know what I mean? He said, upon the rock of the revelation that Jesus is this Christ. He is the cornerstone of our faith, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeshua Yamashiach. Come on, somebody, okay? Salvation. That's the rock. And he says, upon that statement that Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith, then Jesus makes this statement. He says, I will build, and then he says, my church. Whew. He said, it's mine. Jesus says, it belongs to me. I'm going to die for it. I'm going to build it. I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to love it even with all its dysfunction. I'm going to love it even with this bad attitude. Even when it tries to go sideways, even when it's all grumpy, even when it has a bad day, a bad week, even when the world tries to make fun of it, he says, I am committed to building my church. He said, it's mine. I died for it. I loved it. And I make it this promise. He says, no gate in hell will prevail. He says to my church. Now it's important that I give you this historical fact. Governments have risen and fallen, but the church still remains. Because no gate in hell shall prevail. Government's more powerful than America, and I'm not preaching doomsday, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, but governments that seem so powerful that you thought nothing would ever stop this have risen and fallen. But the church still survives, and the devil can't shut it down. And I know we're in America and we can gather, but you don't know there are churches and underground spaces in China that they can't shut it down. They're still worshiping. I have missionary friends that are baptizing people in the Middle East and Iraq and Iran, and they can't stop it. They're having visions of Jesus. My God, the church shall not be stopped. No gate in hell shall prevail. Say amen. Now this is the only thing Jesus said hell would not prevail against. He didn't make that promise about any government. He didn't make that promise about any club, any organization. He never said no gate in hell would prevail against that. He says the only thing on planet Earth that hell will not prevail against, has no authority to prevail against, he says, my church. This is why it's important to be part of the church. Because, man, when I'm part of the church, God says, no gate in hell is going to prevail. Like, I want that for my life. Because don't matter how much I'm a part of anything else in this world, there is no promise of God that hell will not prevail against that. But when I'm a part of what God established, I'm getting goosebumps, and that's not the AC right now. I'm telling you right now. I mean, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Like the Holy Spirit. My son David, he's like, don't say ghost. He's like, Holy Spirit. I'm old school King James. But you know, he's like, he says, nothing will prevail. That's why it's important to be part of the church, because it's the promise that nothing will prevail against his church. That's why I gotta have my kids a part of the church. That's why I got to have my marriage connected to the church. That's why I got to have my dreams connected to the church. That's why I got to have my business connected to the church. That's why I got to have my grandkids connected to the church. That's why I got to have my life connected to the church. Because when it's connected to what Jesus is building, no gate in hell shall prevail. Somebody shout amen. It's the promise of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave me somewhere to go in this crazy world. That's why I got to make my family a part of his church. This ain't my church, it's his church. And when I nestle my family in what he's building, it's the promise. Now, this particular promise, remember I told you 2 weeks ago, there are two types of promises in the Bible. Unconditional promises and conditional promises. Unconditional promises are things that God's like, I promise, and that's it. Nothing you do, I'm going to do it, no matter what you do, right? Like, I love you, that's unconditional. He loves you with an everlasting love. But there are conditional promises where God says, I will do this if you do this. And that's what a good parent does. I'm not going to go into the whole message on that. But he says, I will do this. Now, no gate in hell shall prevail is a conditional promise. Because then the corresponding verse, he says, I will give you the keys. Someone say the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he says, whatever you bind shall be bind. Whatever you loose shall be loosed. He says, I've given you authority that no gate shall prevail. But you got to learn to use these keys. Can I get a good amen? Okay. Come on, somebody. All right. Because when we look in the world, you might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I feel like hell is prevailing. You know? They're going crazy out there, man. They're trying to push all this nonsense. And it may seem that way. But God gave us keys so that no hell would prevail. No gate in hell shall prevail. And I find it interesting that he said it's a gate. He didn't say it's an army. He didn't say it was a weapon, because no weapon formed against it shall prosper. He said it's a gate. Like he reveals it. Who reveals it? Say Jesus reveals it. And so I want to give you this picture, okay? Okay, this is how my mind works. If you're new to Freedom House, get used to it, okay? but bring this out. So let me give you this picture. Because Jesus says this, okay? This is not I didn't say this. Jesus said this, okay? Just bring it out right there for me. And yeah, stop right there, yeah. These two guys are men of God, okay? I love you. You're amazing. But in the moment, they're demons right now, okay? So it's just right now. I just had to say that, just so you know. But you're just acting it out, all right? It's like acting, all right? Okay. Jesus said, no gate in hell. I want you, we're having Bible study, okay? We're talking about. He didn't say no army from hell. He didn't say no weapon from hell. He didn't even say power. Jesus said gate. Jesus is perfect theology. He reveals to us what's in the spiritual. And he identifies that the methodology or the scheme of Satan is to try to use gates to prevail against his church, his people, okay? Track with me here. Tell your neighbor, say, track with him. Okay, don't lose me here. And gates, I mean, I've never been attacked by a gate. I mean, I don't know if you, gates don't attack you. You know what I mean? Like, if you're attacked by a gate, the demon-possessed gate, I don't know. Like, maybe wind blew, I don't know what happened. Gates don't attack you. Gates stop you. Okay, track with me. And oftentimes, we tend to think when we read the scripture, no gate in hell shall prevail, we try to associate like no gate in hell, so keep hell closed. Close the gates and don't let hell come in my life. And although that is true to some stance, of course, don't open up certain doors into your life that can release hell into your life. I totally agree with that. You know, don't be doing old Ouija board nonsense and horrible scope and all this nonsense. You know, like, that'll open hell in your life. Close those things, okay? Okay, yeah, I mean, talking about palm reading. Don't read my palm. Talking about palm. I mean, you're talking about, you need to read my. You want to know my future? My life is in the palm of his hands. Read his hand, and that'll tell you my future. Okay, I got a lot of, don't get me started. Don't get me started, okay? Talking about my days. My lucky day. I got no lucky day. This is a day the Lord has made, and every day is a good day. Come on, somebody. No. So anyway, tell your neighbor, say, don't open those doors. That's a bunch of nonsense, okay? But in context, this particular scripture, no gate in hell shall prevail, he's not talking about us locking gates for hell not to come into our lives. He's actually talking about how hell tries to stop the church. How hell tries to hinder you. And so this is a picture of what you saw. No gate in hell shall prevail. Because hell's trying to tempt this. Close the gates. He's trying to limit God's people, okay? To stop the progression of the kingdom of heaven going through our lives. He closes, the enemy, he's sneaky, okay? That's why he's likened to a snake. He slithers his way into your life. You know, scripture talks about the schemes of the devil, schematas. You know, it talks about be strong in the Lord, right, and the power of his might, and then put on the full armor of God so that we can understand, we take a stand against the devil's schemes, devil's wile. And so that's in your script, in your verse, Ephesians 6, 10, 11. And so he tries to close in on you so that you live your life limited. Not fully experiencing or seeing the kingdom of God go through your life. And he locks gates on our lives. I'm gonna give you a picture. This is the picture that Satan does to people. He locks the gate. And there are a lot of Christians that you're like, oh, I'm free. But you ain't free. Come on, somebody. Because there is a limiting gate that has gated you from fully experiencing an open heaven through your life and in your life. And it is possible. Listen to me. I got to interject this here. It is possible to be saved but still live in a stronghold. I'm telling you, and you know I'm talking right, because you know those people. They've been saved for 20 years, but they still nasty and mean. I'm going to look at the floor. You're like, you know, I figured you've been saved 20 years. That you're like, finally, when are you going to break free of all that stuff? You know what I mean? I know you're on your way to heaven, but you just always live in hell. I'm going to look at the floor. Like, why do you look at me, Pastor? I'm looking at the floor. I'm looking at nobody. That's me, though. I got to be careful with people. Oh, Pastor looked at me when he said that. But if the Holy Spirit spoke, let him speak. I'm just, all right, amen. That's messed up. All right. Okay, look forward. You know, it's possible to be saved, to be on your way to heaven, but hell has gated your life, and heaven is not coming through your life. We're limited. We've allowed these strongholds, and God's like, no gate shall prevail, but we let it prevail. And what can happen is now we're not extending the gospel. We're not believing God to push forward, and we actually begin to feel safe behind the gates. We feel like you know, yeah, you know, it's just, I'm right here, and you know, it's a big bad world out there, and I'm just, you know, I'm right here, and you know, yeah. What are you doing out there? What's going on over there? You know, it's a crazy world out there, you know? And we think we're safe, and hell is prevailing while the church is comfortable, while the church is limited. We are not fully expanding to everything God has called us to expand and to dominate and to bring the sphere of the kingdom. Yeah. It's pretty crazy out there. And we go to work and we go to our places of business, our where we live, and we're limited to extending the kingdom at home, in our lives. And I'm going to tell you right now, God did not call us. He didn't die on the cross for this type of life. Can I get an amen? Okay. He called us to storm these gates and to break them down. And to not allow the enemy to limit the church. And I'm going to preach a little. I'm going to say it like I feel it, okay? The church should not be limited by any exterior force. The people of God should have the boldness, the faith, the courage, the vision, the provision, the freedom in Christ to experience everything God has called us to do to extend his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Can I get an amen? On earth, okay? And I'm not talking about we're not going to face persecution, all this stuff. Please don't misinterpret this sermon. But the point is that the church has been limited while the world is going crazy out there. And I don't subscribe to the thought that we should hide from the world. The Bible says we are in the world, we're not of the world. So we cannot be afraid to go in the world and to shine the light of Jesus, to pray for the sick, to witness, to show people what it is to serve God and still be married. What it is to be successful and still be spiritual. Come on, somebody. What it is to be a family that still honors God and lives life and has the blessing of God upon their home. Come on, somebody. But we're limited. Okay, so how do we get out of these gates? Write this down. I'm going to give you two points quickly because I only got a couple minutes, and me and the clock are always... By the way, I'm not finishing this outline today. You're like, duh, I could tell. You know, it's going to go two parts. So I was like, there's no way I can preach this whole sermon in the 25, 30 minutes I teach. Who am I lying? 40 minutes, 50 minutes. Okay, so write this down. Number one, hell has gates, but heaven has keys. Okay. Jesus said, here's the promise. No gate in hell shall prevail. Here's the principle. I have given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind shall be bind. Whatever you loose shall be loose. I pray you grab this and you begin to pray and activate this. He says, whatever you bind. Go to verse 19 if you can for me, team. It would save me going to my notes here for the sake of time. Matthew 16, 19. He says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so he gave us the keys. Can I tell you, listen to me here, no physical strength that you have will break these gates open. I'm going to raise my hand because I tried it. I've tried in my own strength to try to break every gate the enemy tries to put on my life. And you're going to figure it out sooner or later, hopefully sooner than later, that you do not have the physical strength, even the natural wisdom or smarts to break this gate. You can argue with the gate. You know what? Get out of my face. 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 And you can be like, you know what? That's it. And you're always going to come up short because these are stronger than you. So the only thing that takes down the gate, this lock, you know what I got? I got this little key right here. Okay. This little key. See a little key? It's crazy. Because no matter how big this gate is, no matter how strong these demons think they are, they might have succeeded against my daddy and my daddy's daddy. They might have gotten my granddad. They might have even gotten my friend. They might have even succeeded and outsmarted my daddy. And every person, listen to me, every person will have to fight their daddy's demons sooner or later. And the only way you're going to win is you got to have something that maybe your daddy didn't have and he didn't use and he didn't put together and he didn't. And I got a key that I got because I'm going to use what he didn't use. I'm not going to use my own strength. I'm going to use what God gave me and I'm going to activate it in my life. Somebody say amen. I'm going to get something he perhaps didn't have. And this little key. Watch this. This is like, when I saw it, I was praying, studying. Watch. Big old gates. I don't want to mess with this guy. You know what I mean? It's like, watch this. Don't miss it. Because if you miss it, you go right there. Watch. In case you missed it, one more time. Watch. Did you see? Did you see that? Look. Okay, how strong you are. I ain't messing with y'all. Devil, I ain't messing with you, devil. You already lost. I don't have to fight you because this is not about me winning the devil. The devil's already been defeated. Colossians 2:15. He disarmed the devil, making a public spectacle of him on the cross. Come on, somebody. I ain't got to mess with you. It's not about winning or losing. It's about having dominion and authority and using what God gave me already. So I open it like that. Bus, sus. That's it. Watch this. Boop, boop, boop. So what are the keys? Write this down, point number two, with 20 seconds left on the clock. Jesus gives us salvation, but Jesus' commands gives us the kingdom. Someone say his commands. Someone say his principles. Someone say the keys. So what opens these gates is when I activate his principles. And I put the key in, and I open it. Now, here's the crazy thing about the principles, about the keys and the principles. Does it matter how strong I am? Like, is it on my strength? Watch this. I'm going to turn this key. Does it care how strong I am? Because I don't come in my own authority. Does it care who I am? No. All the key cares is, do you have the right key? And if you don't got the right key, you'll never open the right door, the right gate, the right place. Someone shout amen. So you open it, and then I open it, and watch this. Oh, yeah. You might have got my daddy, but you ain't getting me. And I'll... Yeah. Come on. Yeah, I'm not living back there. It's going to be an open heaven, and I'm going to step forward into all God has called you and I to do. So how does this work? And quickly, is go ahead and start playing, brother. Go for it. How does this work? Practicality. Let's say, for example, you are dealing with a frustration, and the current gate Satan is trying to limit you is to be behind a gate of bitterness, offense, maybe behind a gate of just anger, frustration. And you're like, this gate is closing in on me. Jesus says, I want you to use the key found in Colossians 3:13. The Bible says, make allowances for each other's faults. Some people need a lot more allowance, okay, just so you know. You're like, you are expensive. Just all right. So make allowance for each other's faults. It says, and forgive anyone who offends you. For remember, the Lord forgave you, and you must forgive others. Someone say, tell your neighbor, that's a key. Tell them that's a key. But many of us, we don't want to use that forgiveness key. Close it back up. I'm all frustrated. You know, man, I'm so frustrated. You know, I'm frustrated. And I'm not, and God's like, I gave the key. I'm not using the key. He says, then the gates will prevail. And you're going to spend 30 years caught up all in your unforgiveness self, your bitter self, You're going to be all of it. And he's like, and all along, I get the, he, notice it says, I give you the keys. Let me say it like this. You are only as free as the keys you know how to use. You didn't hear me. You are only as free as the keys you know how to use. And you are as bound as the keys you don't know how to use. That's why you can't play at the level that you played when you were a teenager or a young adult. That's why when you become grown, you got to get yourself some more keys to get to another level and to experience God at another. See, I can't have the same keys I had when I was 16, 18, or 22. Your boy got to get some more keys to level up and get to where God has me to take. I can't play at that level. I got to have keys so I can go to higher places and have more kingdom come through my life. I can't live off of God. Somebody say, Lord, give me some keys. So I gotta finish this. So some of us were like, well, I got one key. Jesus loved me. This I know. For the Bible tell me so. That's a great song. It's a great key. You're gonna need that love of God. But I'm telling you, you live this kingdom life, you're going to see gates and big old gates. And I'm going to say, especially for some of you, you have so much kingdom potential in you. That's why the devil fights you. And it's like layers. And he's going to try to encapsulate you every corner. And you got to be like, Lord, that's why you got to read. I know it sounds simple, but it's actually foundational. That's why you have to read your word. And I mean, I gotta remember, I gotta get this key, y'all. Like, let's say, okay, here's another key. Let's say you're dealing with opening. I gave you the key last week on the open heaven. I'm not gonna preach that again, but let's say you need provision of heaven. What's the key? The tithe opens the windows of heaven. Stop limiting God blessing your financial life, limiting God blessing your life. But let's say you're dealing with a gate with kids, because this is very pertinent right now. Okay? And you got the kids right now. The devil's trying to just confuse, mess with kids. Okay? I got to bring teaching. I got to teach what's relevant. So if it makes you squirm in your seat, good. But what do I do? My kids, this, and my kids, and that. And then the devil's trying to bring gates. Bring the gates. Right? Well, here's the key. Proverbs 22:6. Watch what the Bible says. I'm going to say the Bible says. The Bible says, train up. Let's all read it together. 1, 2, and 3. Train up child in the he or she should go. And when he is old, he will not. It does not say, let the world train up your child. It doesn't say, let science book train up a child. It didn't say, let culture train up a child. It said, you, mom and dad, train that child on the way he or she should go. Okay? We teach them who they are. We teach them the gender God gave them. We tell them what the Bible says. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let them find themselves. That makes no sense. Like, would anyone here take their kid to the mall and go, find yourself? You think I'm going to do that to 5-year-old Zara? Find yourself. She going to wreck the whole place. And they're going to call me and say, why'd you do that? I said, oh, I just let my child find themselves. Be like, are you, sir, do you need, like, are you done lost it? Why are we even thinking that we're going to let kids find themselves? We're supposed to train our child. This is who God says you are. Let me explain to you. You stay away from that person. You don't go to that store. You don't definitely don't go there and there. And watch out because there's some sketchy people. And I'm going to train them. Why? For their own good. So don't listen to the hype of the world. You know, I'm talking to you. Bible tells gender. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. And God made them both male and female. You need to get that scripture. You need to read it to your teenagers, your junior hires, and tell them it's in the Bible. Now, they might get mad at me because we stream at all these places. I don't care. Because there was a time, I know it's going to trip you out, there was a time that we didn't need social media to preach the gospel. We actually used to invite people to church like this. Hey, nice to meet you. Can I? Now, yeah, that's too deep for some of y'all. Ugh. I'm getting social anxiety. You know, it's like, there was a time we would actually talk to our friends and be like, hey, you need Jesus, bro. Like, you need to come with me tomorrow. We actually would go to their house, sit on their dining room, pray with them, lead them to Jesus, hang out till the sun went up. Come on, somebody. And then we were there for each other. We don't need all that. Come on, man. I'm not preaching against social media. Okay, please don't peg me as that. Whatever. You want me to post what you ate last week? Whatever. You know what I mean? But we don't live according to that. I live to please God. I'm going to talk about three keys and I'm done here next week. Three gates the enemy uses to limit you that I've had to overcome in my life. And so save the outline. We'll come back next week. But I'll make this last statement. You are only as free as the keys you know how to use. That's it. You're only as free. Would you bow your head with me? Heavenly Father, God, I'm asking you that we would be a church. In fact, the church that this world needs, and I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about us as people, that we are using the keys that you gave us so that no gate in hell shall prevail. There would be no limitation that would hinder the extension of the kingdom of God upon this earth. First in our lives, second in our homes, third in the children we raise, fourth in the people we influence, fifth in the world we live in. God, let us learn these keys. Let us become master builders, as the Bible says. We study, men that study the word, that there's nothing that, I'm telling you, men, when you get the keys of the kingdom, there is no limitation the enemy can put on your life, men and women. If you got big dreams, I'm telling you, you're going to need the keys of the kingdom of God, because the gates only get bigger, but the keys are strategic. You got to have those keys. I want you to, in this moment, identify perhaps what the gate is that's in front of you. Next week, I'll talk about gates that come against us. But when you find what the gate is, the journey is to then find the corresponding key to remove that. And I'm going to share with you things that I had to learn in my personal life next week. And I hope it enlightens things through the scriptures. But Father in heaven, would we all say this with me across all our campus? Say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that it was your desire that no gate in hell would prevail against your people. And Lord, I'm going to commit to learning how to use the keys of the kingdom of heaven and apply them, activate them into my life to be a testimony of living in the freedom and the power of the resurrection, because you did not die and rise again so I can live bound. Will I go through periods of struggle? Yes. Say that. Will I go through periods of struggle? Yes. Will I go through hard times? Say yes. But no gate in hell will stop what you want to do in my life and from the glory of God reaching people. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray right now for those with big dreams and big aspirations. I pray, God, that you give kingdom keys to people to go into spheres of influence that have never gone before in our history. I pray, God, that even within the sound of my voice, that we would have out of this room future Christian governors, Christian senators, Christian congresspeople. I pray that more Christian successful businesses would be open out of this congregation. I pray that you help sports people, influence people for the glory of God. I pray that God, people accomplish exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond, not for our glory, not for our attention, but that we can show the world that nothing will stop the extension of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the light that this dark world needs. Father, use our lives, God, for the glory and for the honor and for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's sing this out.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.